Who is this and how did you get this number? Because it's the news, according to me. 5 back here on the news, according to me. Drinking, you know, stuff that's in my cup. I suppose that some of you have wondered if I have been maybe like dropped off the face of the planet. Last couple of weeks, I think I've only had one show. I don't even think I even have a show last week? I don't even remember. Last week was a blur, actually. I have taken on some new responsibilities, and it has been an overwhelming flurry of activity, to say the least. And I apologize for not having a show last week. And in fact, this show is being recorded this morning. It's right now it's Monday, July 19th at 11:04 Eastern Standard Time. And there is Lipton hot tea with sugar and honey in my cup. Just so you know, I'm just going to get all that out of the way because at the moment, I guess I would say I am, how you say, loaded for bear. I did not cease in my, what would you call it? Pursuit of the truth and various other sundries. Things that I do. My acquiring, my acquisition of the facts and truth and news. So I didn't, I'm kind of looking for my facts and news and stuff because I'd written down a lot of stuff. Where did it all go? My notes are completely gone. That's really bizarre. Yeah. The fact of the matter is, just so much going on. First of all, has anybody heard from Nancy Pelosi lately? She was in the news every day. She was constantly doing her little newscast, her little press conference every day. And all of a sudden, I haven't heard anything from her for a while. Now, I don't know if anybody's just not reporting on her or if she's just completely gone. They just don't care if she's now out of the loop. I have no idea what's going on with that. I have, however, recently I listened to a broadcast from Mr. Reagan. As some of you who listen to me all the time, you know, I listen to this guy named, his name isn't Mr. Reagan, but his channel is called Mr. Reagan. He's on YouTube. He had an extremely, and I haven't heard from him since. I actually have not seen, let me look online and just see if he's put anything out recently because how do you spell his name? Reagan. There we go. Reagan. There we go. I just got to spell it right, I guess. That's weird. Nothing's coming up for him, which is actually isn't that weird because he, there he is. Yeah, nothing came up in the autofill. Oh my. Well, that's loud. That's loud. So he had this thing going on that he was putting out. Let's see when his last video was actually put out because this is 5 days ago. 5 days ago, he was putting out a video every day, and all of a sudden, 5 days ago, he's got no videos out. He had one 1 week ago, 6 days ago, 5 days ago, and then gone. Nothing. Now he's also got a parody channel that is I can't remember what it is, but he put out this parody. He has this parody channel where he acts like a liberal, And it's all kind of a spoof of liberals. So he can kind of get away with saying things on there that he would otherwise not be able to, because his serious channel is all this political stuff that's, it's pretty straightforward. A lot of facts in it. One of the things that he did about a week ago was that he came out with an expose that was just bare bones to the truth, highly credible information. And it was all about the FBI. And it exposed a lot of things about the FBI. And I would like to get into it more. Today I'm going to talk about it, but I'd like to get into it more this week as I continue to open this stuff up. Because we've got everything from the FBI and all the stuff that's going on there with the corruption that is in there, and then what happened on January 6th and how the FBI was involved. And on top of that, we have very damning things coming out of Georgia as well as Arizona and the forensic audit issues. The forensic audit, as of this point, has explosive information in it that if the numbers that are rumored to be correct here, in the numbers of ballots that have been seen as being fraudulent, it could be absolutely mind-boggling. And of course, the Dems are already trying to jump on this thing and saying it's all a bunch of lies. Of course, the question, this always begs the question. I know Joe Pags had a really powerful show on it a couple days ago, and he was talking about how what do we do if it is determined that the outcome of the election was incorrect? What do we do? What kind of recourse is there? Do you take the current president out and reinstate someone else? Is that even possible in our current system? There's a lot of concerns there. And if they do, is it the person who won the election that gets in there, or does the party step in and apply who's going to be in place? And if that's the case, then it's going to be a race to see if the establishment Republicans can take over the party again and put in their own person rather than putting in Trump. Now, if Trump really lost, that's fine. I you're never going to convince me of that. I'm call me biased if you want to, because I just don't believe it. And I won't believe it. I don't even believe that Barack Obama won the 2012 election. I think that there were shenanigans then. They pulled them on a higher and a greater scale in 2020. All of a sudden, the most pristine election ever in history was accomplished only because they got their outcome. If President Trump had pulled it off and won the 2020 election, and they couldn't have kept it from happening, they all we would be hearing right now is how corrupt the whole system is, and how we would need comprehensive voter legislation, which is what they're trying to do anyway. Anytime they use the word comprehensive, you know that what they want to do is actually change things. They don't want to fix things; they want to change things so that they can win. Comprehensive immigration reform is another word for amnesty. Comprehensive health care reform is a name for government-controlled single payer. Comprehensive border control means just open up the borders and let everybody in, except for the Cubans. They don't want them in here. Because they want freedom. They want liberty. They want all the things that they've lived under a communist regime, and they don't want to come here. They're opposed to the Democrats here. I say let them all in. So So we have all this stuff going on. Mr. Reagan goes on this expose about the FBI and starts talking about how they operate, how they have operated in the past, and then how they started to operate with the crooks that are in the, well, on Capitol Hill. Let's just put it that way. And they were able to control them the same way, and then they realized, hey, we have the power. We're actually controlling the government here. We have the power to manipulate these lawmakers. And we're really the ones in control. We're the ones that are pulling the strings here. So this goes back to, well, I won't even get into it today, just today yet, but let's talk about this election stuff, because apparently the audits have have opened up a lot more questions than they've given answers to. And the auditors are simply in a very non-biased way saying, we need this information to verify some things. And of course, the information isn't there. They are finding voter registrations that are extremely, oh, let's just say there's some extreme anomalies and some issues. To the tune of tens of thousands in every category, which adds up to be, you know, many, many hundreds of thousands. Now, in Georgia, the place where we, you know, what you're seeing is not what you're seeing. And Raffensperger, who, in my opinion, was in the pocket of Dominion. You know, it's no wonder. Now, just a little side note. All these Democrats now are saying, well, now that they've gone through these machines and tried to audit them, these machines now have to be replaced. So now we have to set up a new multi-million dollar contract with Dominion. How convenient. I'm sure Dominion hates that. Oh, rats, now we're going to make a couple more million dollars or several tens of millions of dollars or more now in all these states that have to replace all their machines. See, machines are machines. They don't have... Machines can be software flashed. All you need is software. Software is free. Well, I mean, they can charge for it. But there's nothing manufactured there. It's just a simple flash. And if there's a problem with doing that, then how do you know that there wasn't a problem with doing it before? How'd you verify that the machines were good before and you can't verify them now because there's some kind of something else in them? If you flash the firmware? This is absolutely ludicrous and insane. And I'll guarantee you what they're going to do is they're going to spend millions of dollars on new machines, and all Dominion is going to have to trade the old ones in. All Dominion is going to do is refurbish them. In other words, resell them. Same machines. Just all they're doing is transporting them from one building to another and then transporting them back. There you go. There's your new machines. That'll be $2 million. Thank you very much. So what we have now down in Georgia, interestingly enough, as they finally have gained access to the documents and records that have to be maintained for 22 months. Now, I guarantee you, when 22 months is over, those things are all going to be burned and destroyed. And they're going to be gone. Just because it says they have to be maintained and preserved for 22 months doesn't mean you can't go longer than that. But they will not go longer than that. I guarantee you, if anybody has an option, they will get their hands on those things and they will destroy them. Well, you know, the law says 22 months and now it's 23 months, so they're gone. We're having a bonfire. Interesting that it's 22 months, not 24 months or 26 months. So they can destroy them in October before the election. So there's no October surprise. So here's the interesting part of this whole thing. They're finding on all these stacks of counted ballots. They'll They'll have 100 ballots stacked up on there with a count sheet on top. Count sheet says 100 votes for Biden, or they're 100% for Biden. Nobody else, Trump or any other candidates. These numbers are statistically impossible. And yet that is what has happened. Now, during the 2012 election, these kinds of things happened as well on the East Coast. There were places where, in certain precincts, 100% of the vote went to Obama. In fact, there were places in precincts that had more votes for Obama than there were residents in the community. And we're talking legal age voting residents in the community. There were more votes, and 100% of them were for Obama. But there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. What's the definition of widespread? Is it in an entire precinct? Is it in the county, a state, the entire country? Because, you know, there was voter fraud. First of all, they started saying there was no voter fraud. Then it was, well, they started finding voter fraud. Well, there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud that it would. And then it was, there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud that would affect the election. Not enough that would have affected the outcome of the election. And nothing to see here. Now we don't no need to recount anything or do anything. We just need to move along. If you're a denier, you're an insurrectionist. You're a homegrown terrorist, domestic terrorist. If you believe anything else, if you question the outcome of the election, you're a domestic terrorist. Speaking of that, I'm going to go there too. Merrick Garland, whatever his name is, the AG. You will notice on the left, and the leftists who have a narrative, and he's one of them, whenever they mention domestic terrorism, white supremacist, they have a way of weaving a thread through all of those definitions. All of those definitions are equated to what happened on January 9th. 6th, I'm sorry. The insurrection that took place on January 6th, as they call it. The attack on the Capitol, on the foundation of our democracy. The general who's been in the news recently, Willie, or whatever his name is, General Willie or Willies or whatever his name is, he was repeating the same rhetoric when he was talking about his defense of saying that I need to put these books on the required reading or the recommended reading for the military. And he's flip-flopped back and forth all over the place. From being he's a leftist. Now I'm not sure that he's really a leftist. He's just a chameleon. Wants to protect his job. Likes the power that he has and the notability and the notoriety. And I appreciate the folks that are in the news that are coming out and calling him a coward. This guy's sitting at a top seat in the general facility. He's just, and they nailed it. When you've got a president who comes out and says, you know, something about, you know, people who are, you know, how do we fight back against our government? He says, well, how are you going to go up against nukes and F-18s? Did you just threaten the American people with nukes and F-18s, sir? And who do you think is going to fly those airplanes, and who's going to launch those missiles? People who have family here in the country? You going to do that? You going to launch nukes and F-18s against your own people? The people you're supposed to represent? This is the issue we've got before us right now. These people are drunk with power. And we are now hearing again, now back in the Obama days, when gas prices shot up like crazy, we were told that was a good thing because it means that there's a higher demand. There's a demand for gas right now. That's why the prices are so high, because the demand is high, because the economy is so strong. If the economy wasn't so strong, there wouldn't be a demand for fuel, and the fuel prices wouldn't be so high. It's a sign of a strong economy. Everybody was struggling through that moment in time. And so supposedly, if that's the case, then why are we still paying people extra money to be on unemployment? If things are so dire and we need to get them $2 trillion, $1.8 trillion, and there's more checks on the way for childcare, pay them more. You got a shortage of workers right now. Here's the thing. For those of you who are sitting out there, fat, dumb, and happy, getting your unemployment check, I can't say I don't blame you. If somebody's going to pay me more money to sit on my butt than to go to work, I have to say that's a pretty tempting offer there. I would probably, I don't know if you can hear that in the background. That's my dog scratching on the carpet. He's pretending like he's digging a hole so he can lay in it. He's got carpeting he can lay on. It's an air-conditioned room. And he feels like he needs to be more comfortable. He's got cushions everywhere over here. He could just lay on a cushion. But no. He has to try to dig a hole in carpeting. There's other reasons they do that kind of stuff, but that's just kind of a thing he's doing. I can't blame him. He's a dog. He doesn't know any better. So we have that going on. At the same time, now, we're being told by Circleback Psaki that they're working with Facebook and Twitter and social media to quell misinformation. In other words, the truth that they don't like. What is misinformation today, or what they call disinformation, was what they were telling us yesterday. Things like, if you think that it came from the Wuhan lab, you're nuts. Today it's, there's credibility in that story now. If you think you're wearing a mask is going to help you, maybe from a droplet, may save you from a droplet. It's a false sense of security. Yes, you should wear two masks now. You better wear two masks, another layer, just make perfect common sense. And they wonder why we don't trust them with any information we're getting. So, all this stuff is happening. And the news media, MSNBC, has gone completely insane. They continue to go down this avenue, this information tirade about what's happening in the case against Donald Trump, because they have nothing else will draw anybody. They can't talk about Biden because they don't really want that guy on television right now. He doesn't do well when he's in front of a camera. In the meantime, Carmella had to be shipped off to Walter Reed all of a sudden. I just heard this morning that she was checked in unexpectedly to Walter Reed, but she's been released and she's fine. No explanation of what she did or what happened to her, even though we're supposed to give you all of our medical information and whether or not we have a vaccine or not. people are going to be coming around to our doors and asking us whether we've had the vaccine or not. But they can't tell us what's going on with the vice president, why she was checked in. Well, because, you know, HIPAA, you know, that's her that's her personal stuff. Can't dig into that. Yeah, okay. So and then there's Joe, you know, sleepy eye Joe, squinty eye Joe, whatever he is. I am kind of surprised at how lucid he's been the last couple weeks. Actually, he's been a lot more lucid than I would have anticipated him being by this point. However, he's still very diminished in his cognitive abilities. And my guess is he's had a plateau moment here, and we're going to see another major, before November, I believe, before November of this year, I think we will see, like I've said, but before the end of the year, someone else will be taken over. I don't see him surviving the capabilities of, I mean, he might be alive, but surviving the capabilities, being able to continue to fulfill the functions of the office. Now, my understanding is people aren't liking Carmella too much, even on the left. This could be a real problem. They're running into a real conundrum here because they've got a president who's incompetent and drooling and babbling. And they've got this woman of color waiting in the wings that couldn't even make it through the primary in the Democratic Party, the Democrat Party, who is about to, she's like one heartbeat away from being the president here. And the reports are coming out of her administration. And again, this is just mostly hearsay, but you know, since they use it, I'm going to use it for a second here. Apparently, she's got a little hard to work with. Now, this has not been a report that's just happened since she's been in the White House. This has been, or since she's been in the administration. This was happening in California as well. There's a lot of reports of the way she acts and the way she works. She's a clueless, incompetent individual who bullies people around her to get the job done, to do her work. That's kind of the way she operates. That's been her standard MO from the time she's ever stepped into office. So, as you might imagine, she is up against a little bit of a tough spot when it comes to just stepping right into office. And the powers that be, the strings that are being pulled, don't necessarily, they're not really pushing for her her quick and speedy move into the Oval Office there, into the chair behind the desk. They were initially kind of pushing for that. Now you don't hear so much about it anymore. You don't see her walking around behind Joe all the time anymore. So, I don't know. I really don't know what's about to happen here. All I know is, you know, the FBI, the powers that be, behind the scenes, who are manipulating so much of what's going on, because they have all the information on all the corruption, and they sit on it, and they use it to pry. That's a pry bar. Why would you sit on Hunter's laptop for over a year and not do anything with it? Why are you allowing crooks and criminals to take office and sit there in office with information that would put any of us in jail? But you're allowing them, under the guise, under the hiding behind the skirt of, well, we don't want to affect an election. It's not our policy to try to do anything that would affect an election. Of course not, because you get your person gets in there regardless of which side they're on. Now you can control them. You don't want to affect the election. Whoever you want to get in there. We've got We don't care who gets in on whatever side it is. We don't care because we got damning evidence of things on both sides. And then we have that little Comey meeting. Hey, we got this. We got this information on you here, and I just want to let you know what's out there. When Comey had that meeting with Donald Trump, that was a shakedown. They had nothing on this guy. All they had was this phony document, this phony Russian hoax thing. Comey went in there to show him that. He has admitted so. What actually happened was a threat. Now, I don't think Donald Trump fully realized what was going on there. I think at the time he may have actually trusted James Comey. And Comey did not get the response from Trump that he wanted. What he wanted from Trump was, oh my, oh, somebody knows about that. Oh no. Well, we've got to keep this undercover. Well, sir, I can guarantee you if you keep this, if you just do what we tell you, we'll make sure that this never gets out. That's not what happened. Comey was surprised and shocked, and that's why he released his notes to someone to give them to the press. Just the level of criminality involved in that, whether there's a law or not that was broken, just the ethics involved in that, and which is ironic for someone who taught ethics in a college, in a university setting. Comey was the ethics professor, or taught ethics, or had something involved in it. I'd always adjunct professor, or whatever he was. I don't know all those fancy words. There's some serious stuff going on right now. And all of a sudden, even with the COVID thing kind of going away and everybody's getting vaccinated, now they're pushing for a 100% vaccination here, folks. The only pandemic is among those who haven't been vaccinated. Not true. Not at all true, Joe. The legislators down in Texas who didn't want to stay for the vote in Texas, who all left the state so that there couldn't be a quorum. A quorum was when you have a certain number of individuals among the state legislature. So they needed to have a certain number, say it's 50 people, whatever it is. And they, you know, like 20 of the, whatever it was, 20-some Democrat leaders just walk out, get out of the state. They go to D.C., they all take a little field trip to D.C. And that's so that there's no quorum. There's not enough people. Well, now we only have, you know, 47 people or whatever was left. They didn't have the minimum number they needed to have a quorum to get the vote done. So they couldn't vote. So the governor issued a warrant for their arrest. Now, they can't put them in jail for that, but they can detain them and bring them back to the state house for a vote. They don't have to vote. They just have to be there. Because they know this legislation is going to pass, and they don't like it. I think it's a voter rights legislation in Texas. And so they all took off for D.C. Well, while they were in D.C., guess what happened? I think a total now is about five of them. Now, these are fully vaccinated individuals, supposedly fully vaccinated individuals. They go to D.C., three of them come up COVID positive. Two more of them came up COVID positive, I think, today. Or as of yesterday, the report came out today. But the only pandemic is among those who are unvaccinated. Three pitchers in the MLB recently had to cancel or postpone a game because three pitchers, fully vaccinated pitchers, by the way, had COVID. And what you haven't heard about is that they haven't said it was the variant. It was the Delta. Now the misinformation is coming out about the Delta. Now, it depends on who you talk to, because the CDC themselves actually have conflicting information between that and what the news media is putting out. And there are case after case of people actually reporting, like regular news reports, regular, like bona fide newsrooms, journalists, who were just reporting what the CDC is, information is, are being banned on Facebook and Twitter. Their shows are being banned because of what they're reporting and what the CDC says, and Facebook doesn't like it, and the government is telling them to take that information off. Because Circle Back Psaki said that they're working with the Facebook, the social media, you know, nets, to tell them what to say and what not to say. And the fact checkers, that the independent fact checkers that they're hiring at those social media companies are not independent at all. They're independent of Facebook, but they have an agenda. The variant now, the reports are, the studies have shown, this is according to the CDC, this is according to reviewed studies, peer-reviewed studies. The general report on this Delta variant is that it is much more transmissible. So it's much easier to get it. Here's the problem. It's less than half as deadly. It doesn't have nearly the symptomatic issues that the regular one did. So yeah, it'll spread more. It'll spread quicker. Or it's easier to spread, I should say. But the results are, you know, we're already down to the point where if you looked at all the numbers and did all the math, this thing is like a really bad flu in terms of effectiveness, in terms of deadly stuff going on. Really bad flu season type stuff. So now you've reduced it to about half that. So, and yet the information is still out there and it's being sucked up by people in the medical industry. I hear people in the medical industry saying, oh, this Delta variant is really nasty. It's really bad. And yet that's not what the studies are showing. Where is that information coming from? Because they're not reading it directly from the studies. They're hearing it from reports that are not based on, I mean, I could, if I wish I had the information right here in front of me, I would give it to you, right? That's from the CDC reports. These people are flat out lying. They're playing the narrative and they're winning with that. Because it's coming from so-called credible sources. Which are just people making stuff up because they're saying what they want to say. It's unbelievable. And it's downright frightening, folks. Because this is the kind of stuff that really, at the end of the day, where I see this going, there's another channel that I've been wanting, I kind of have it started, I haven't really done anything with it, and it has to do with conspiracy, the conspiracy theories, the things that are going on right now. And there was a recent report today, I believe it was by Mark Dice, talking about how they're going to end up going into, if you don't think that they're not going to go after your, oh no, this might have been Dan Bongino, actually. It was Dan Bongino. I think it was yesterday's show. I listened to about an hour of his broadcast, and he was talking about how they're going to start, you know, tapping into your text messages. Now this is, think about this. Now your text messages are not innocuous. They are controlled, and everything goes through servers. Like, if say you've got the Apple Messenger, all those text messages are going through Big Tech. You know, that's Apple. If you're texting from an Android machine, that's Google. Your phone runs on Google. If you are using Verizon or T-Mobile or whatever it is server you're using their. Any one of those big tech companies could step in and decide that they need to monitor the communications that's going out there to quell misinformation. I mean, this is 1984, Orwell's 1984 stuff right here. Right in front of us. I guarantee if you try to text somebody a message, you try to text that message to somebody, and you try to say something about the Rona or whatever it's going to be, or Biden or the administration or Hunter's laptop, it will pop up with a message and say, the information that you are trying to send has been deemed, has been fact-checked to be false. Whatever it's going to say. Or just won't let you go through. Or by the time it gets to the other person, it's going to be changed. You don't think that can happen? Have you ever tried to use speech to text? And it comes up with something totally different than what you said? Or even typing something in, and all of a sudden it corrects it to something else. You don't think this is possible? The speed at which these things can be done, especially with 5G and the supercomputers that are coming out, you know, that we're working with now. The deep fake stuff that's happening, where they can create video of a person saying something that they're not saying, or that they've never said or that they wouldn't say. This is the kind of stuff we're up against. Where are we going to be in 10 years, folks? This is just around the corner. I would say even 5 years from now. We are racing towards a tech-controlled society. They will monitor every little thing you do. I just recently heard the guy who is in charge of what is it? He's I think he's the guy with he's what's his name? He's the Alexa thing, or might have been Google. Maybe he was the guy who's head of Google. I think he's the guy who's head of Alphabet or whatever it is. He was saying, "Oh, do you have Alexa in your home or whatever? Do you have this or that? Or do you have the Google thing in your home?" "Oh yeah, I've got that in my home. And I teach my kids responsible use of technology and all those things that they have." Well, I know that I'm just going to call it Alexa because I don't know what else it would be. And hopefully you're not listening on a speaker with an Alexa sitting there next to you because she's going nuts right now. Because I keep saying her name. So say you've got this Alex box there, sitting there. And he actually had the audacity to say this. And I think it goes right by most people and they accept it apparently. Well, it only listens when I say, "Hey, Siri," or whatever. That's the only time it listens to you. Like, it's sitting off in the distance, ignoring everything that's going on until it hears that little thing. And somehow it wakes up and goes, oh, somebody's talking out there. Oh, I need to pay attention. What do you need? No, it's listening to every word you say. How many of you have had an accidental Siri pop up? "I think you meant this. I think you said you want this. Okay, send a text message to so-and-so." I never said that. Why are you popping into my life right now? I didn't say anything to you. It's listening 24/7, folks. But I'm getting into the conspiratorial part of this whole thing. The big tech conspiracy against humanity, to control humanity, which also gets into the AI world, which I'm not going to talk about at the moment. AI is also a fallacy. Artificial intelligence will never exist. The intelligence has to be based on a core philosophy, and you might call that a worldview, you might call that a moral standard. Without that, you don't really have intelligence at all. You just have reaction and response. artificial intelligence has to, at its core, have some kind of programming that is based on right and wrong. You can have technology that kind of figures out, well, if I keep doing this and it's get the wrong thing, then I need to pick this side and this, whatever. That's fine. But at the core of AI, if that switch is ever flipped and it's allowed to take over, it is not going to be based on what is good and right in the eyes of God. In fact, it will be the enemy of God. It will take the place of God. And it will have somebody back behind the scenes has programmed something into that machine, into that software, that will have a core philosophy. And I guarantee you they won't be plugging in the Bible. And even if they did, the Bible itself was made to be an instrument of relationship, not a cut and dried law. Because guess what? None of us can live up to that law. So we would all be dead. Because there's no grace in AI. There's no relationship in AI. There's nothing there. It just sees things black and white. So, this is a caution, I guess, for those of you who are listening. And it's what we're seeing, and if you pay attention, you will see a continued division between left and right, liberals and the conservatives. And I'm already starting to see reporters and reports and articles and other news sources saying things like, well, in general, the conservatives are kind of considered the ones who are the Christians. The left are the ones who are not necessarily, they're everybody else. Now, there are Christians who are supposedly on the left and liberals and that kind of stuff. I know of a few. There are even church denominations that would say that they align with the left, that they vote with the liberals, not necessarily leftists. I would say they're more traditional Democrats, which are slowly disappearing, quickly disappearing, actually. The leftists who are Marxists are rapidly taking over the Democrat Party. So there's this division between believers and unbelievers happening before our eyes. And the believers are considered to be the enemy, the insurrectionists, the ones who attack the Capitol. Now, let me ask you this question. This is a tough question to ask, and it's maybe a tough question to answer. If there are domestic enemies who are taking over our government, what will it look like to take back our government? If they have taken the ability for, most people would say, well, we can get them out through elections. What if they have taken the ability away from us to have free and fair elections? What is the recourse and what will that look like? Will it not look like an insurrection because we're taking the government back? We will be accused of being insurrectionists simply because we are doing our patriotic and, I would say, constitutional duty to maintain freedom and liberty in the country, to fight against enemies, both foreign and domestic, when those very domestic, very, very same people are the domestic enemies are taking control of all those things. I'm just asking, what would it look like? I'm not saying it's happening. I'm not saying I'm encouraging it. But what would it look like? Is it going to look like a peaceful thing? We're just going to walk up and go, oh, they're going to go, oh, yeah, you caught us. Dang, shoot. Yeah, okay, we're going to let you go. Yeah, I guess we took you. Yeah, you got us. Oh, you rascals. No. And they don't dare release their power because if they do, they might be found out. Because you've got people in high places who are think of themselves as the moral standard upholders of moral standards. They're just as corrupt as any other human being on the planet because ultimate power ultimately corrupts. Well, folks, I know it's been a real pleasant experience with the little talk that I've had today. As the week goes on, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the FBI issue. And if I disappear all of a sudden, you might know that something bad has happened to me. But I guarantee you I will never Epstein myself. That ain't going to happen because I'm too lazy to do it. So it's not going to happen. If it ever does happen, you can know that it wasn't me. Somebody else did that. So keep that in mind. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. Hopefully we can dig into some of these topics as the week goes by, and I'll have some shows. Tomorrow morning might be a little bit of a stretch for me to have one. Later today, I might have a show later this evening if I have time. I got to mow my yard, so who knows? God bless everybody. Have a great night.